Good afternoon. It's an honor to be here today to speak among international panelists at the American Public Health Association. Thank you for the introduction, and I would also like to thank Dr. Ivanov, who's not with us at the moment, for inviting me to speak on the topic of prevention and wellness from an interdisciplinary perspective. My background is not in public health administration or medicine, but it's in the field of conflict resolution. And my topic today is the application of theories and models of practice from conflict resolution to the field of public health and healthcare delivery in the United States. Conflict among healthcare workers and providers has been the topic of a number of studies in recent decades and has been recognized internationally as a significant factor in patient safety and medical outcomes. Studies from a number of countries have demonstrated direct links between conflict that occurs between colleagues and team effectiveness, employee satisfaction and retention, and quality of care delivery. As a student of the graduate program in Conflict and Peace Studies at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, my interest in this area pertains to the models of conflict management in the local healthcare community and the ways that conflict resolution practitioners can support the growing application of collaborative practices among healthcare organizations, particularly in light of the transition towards healthcare reform in the United States. The second slide is a required disclosure statement by the APHA stating that I have no personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation. To understand how conflict between healthcare providers can be constructively addressed, we begin with the popular definition from the field of conflict resolution that conflict is a normal and inevitable part of everyday life. Conflict in itself is neither good nor bad. It is our response to conflict that produces a positive or negative association. Responses to conflict vary widely and are based on the context, environment, experience, conditioning, culture, agency, position, needs, and abilities of parties to generate and evaluate appropriate options for maximizing the problem-solving potential within the conflict. The healthcare industry is particularly prone to experience ongoing conflict for a number of reasons. Clinical care environments are charged with high levels of stress, diversity, multiculturalism, differing ethics, values, and religious beliefs. Traditionally, healthcare organizations contain complex systems of hierarchy and imbalance of power. Research has shown that conflict has a particularly adverse impact on nurses in critical care settings. Studies of nurse behavior when experiencing conflict with colleagues shows a tendency to avoid addressing the conflict and leads to loss in nurse retention, job satisfaction, and ultimately has a negative impact on patient outcomes. The term used in recent literature to describe a best practice response to conflict in healthcare settings is engagement. This model follows the theory that while conflict in such complex settings may be ongoing and difficult to resolve, it can be constructively managed through a process of engagement rather than avoidance. In this sense, engagement in conflict is a constructive step towards collaboration amongst team members. Institutions such as the Joint Commission and Center for American Nurses have developed policies in response to this research, calling for leadership in healthcare organizations to address lateral and horizontal violence, bullying, mobbing, disruptive and non-collaborative behaviors by promoting conflict engagement among staff, employing professional conflict resolution services such as education and training, consultation, facilitation, mediation, and ombud services when appropriate. Several years after the 2008 Joint Commission alert, a study by Mahone and Nekatera found that while most nursing education does include content on communication, this content is usually specific to communication with patients, in which empathy is emphasized, but there is rarely an emphasis on how to communicate with colleagues. Conflict is still considered a negative force to be avoided. Conflict resolution education and consultation services provide a platform for reforming these organizational behaviors towards a culture of collaborative practice particularly as the American healthcare industry moves toward a new model with the passing of the historic Affordable Care Act in 2010. In the United States, an orientation from fragmentation toward team-based collaborative care has gained national precedence. The Affordable Care Act calls for healthcare organizations and systems to adapt to an alternative patient-centered model or medical home to make healthcare more accessible and affordable, increase the quality of care delivered, and improve clinical outcomes. The patient-centered care model is an organized delivery system of group practice that puts as many services under one roof as possible. According to the Patient-Centered Care Collaborative, a nonpartisan advocacy and research foundation, these organizations have demonstrated enormous savings to the public and private sectors because of their efficient approaches to high-quality healthcare by adopting a more collaborative, team-based approach. The medical home model offers an opportunity for greater coordination of preventative, proactive, and coordinated care that focuses on the patient as an equal partner in decision-making and planning, and communication is enhanced between patients and all members of the team. Team efficiency and satisfaction can be maximized by empowering nurses and physicians as accountable to and valuing every member of the healthcare team. Employing professional conflict resolution services such as education, communication training, consultation, facilitation, and mediation can be essential to achieving these standards and should be practiced within these transitioning organizational models. The United States healthcare crisis and the Affordable Care Act are areas of interest shared by several of my classmates in the Conflict and Peace Studies master's program at UNCG. We formed a research team as we began to investigate the topic of conflict in healthcare, going into a required course in our second year titled Community Engaged Research. Each member of the team brings unique knowledge, experience, and perspectives to the project. One being a registered nurse and each of the other three members are married to or have relationships with medical professionals. Our interest as student researchers is in the overlapping narratives of conflict resolution in healthcare organizations and the transition towards the collaborative practices of patient-centered care under the Affordable Care Act. We designed the research project titled Collaborative Care to meet three objectives: to compare the types of conflict and collaborations that occur across traditional fee-for-service model organizations and patient-centered medical home models, to analyze how disruptive behaviors affect workplace environments and quality of care, and to determine how conflict resolution practices can best support optimal outcomes for patients and providers alike. The project was designed as a mixed methodology study in which participating nurses would complete an anonymous online questionnaire and have the opportunity to attend a focus group at each of the self-selected research sites. Our goal as researchers was to compare a total of 6 participating sites with 10 registered nurses from each site. Healthcare organizations would be selected as research sites based on their economic model to provide an objective standard for comparisons between traditional fee-for-service organizations and patient-centered medical home models. We designed the project in all consent recruitment and instrument materials and were approved for IRB compliance through the university in May. Over the summer, administrative persons at each site were contacted to assist with the recruitment of RNs. The project has been in limbo since the summer when our efforts failed to recruit sites that were interested in participating. Out of the 10 sites that were contacted, only one was willing to participate in the study as a partner in education and development. The lack of response during our recruitment phase points to several perceived challenges with the research by nature of its design and implementation. The first challenge was due to stress at the point of entry. Each site that we contacted represents a closed system of complex rules and operations. As a student research team, we experienced firsthand the barriers to community involvement with both large and small healthcare systems at the administrative level. These organizations may have declined our proposal due to heavy administrative loads or complicated procedures for intergroup interaction. The second challenge pertains to a negatively biased association with conflict studies, where organizational culture acts as a barrier to conflict engagement. This kind of disciplinary discrimination is common to the field of conflict resolution. As noted by Phyllis Kreidick, healthcare professionals traditionally have not welcomed alternative dispute resolution professionals as helpful or valued consultants, but as potential threats, requiring unwelcome behavior changes. The third challenge involves sociocultural barriers to the Affordable Care Act. Due to the controversial nature of the legislation, people at the sites that we contacted may have rejected the proposal because they were biased against the Health Care Reform Act and were not interested in participating in our research objectives. Although North Carolina has been a leader in achieving improved quality at lower cost for its Medicaid program recipients enrolled in medical homes since 1998, strong opposition towards the Affordable Care Act creates a political boundary in North Carolina for private industry reform initiatives. In our area of Greensboro, it was difficult to determine whether any of the sites that we contacted identified as patient-centered or medical home models. These labels have not yet caught on in the industry. In response to the challenges to the collaborative care project, our research questions and methodological approaches have evolved. The research team decided in conjunction with our faculty advisors to restructure the project and reframe the investigation. As our curriculum has developed, an opportunity to engage in needs-based community research has been identified in the Conflict and Peace Studies program at UNCG. The research project Collaborative Care is now conducting stages of research that will produce not only information about the local impact of lateral and horizontal conflict in healthcare, but will also serve as a foundation of an ongoing needs-based community collaboration between healthcare provider organizations and the university. This data will be used as part of a larger survey base to evaluate the need in the Greensboro community for campus-based conflict resolution services, such as education, training, consultation, facilitation, and mediation. Survey questions will range from satisfaction with current culture of employee conduct to the degree of conflict resolution training that has been or may be employed by the organization. Our initial contact will be made with a single individual at the site, such as an office manager or HR associate. And rather than asking she or he to recruit RNs or other administrative personnel, they will be asked to complete the questionnaire themselves, confidentially, by phone or through an online survey tool via email. The goal of our research team is now to target 20 healthcare organizations in the area, including doctor's offices, community clinics, public health departments, surgical centers, specialists, and area hospitals, with responses from one individual per site. The survey responses will be used as informational interviews to generate a broad assessment of community-based needs, rather than a comparison between specific organizations. At this stage, there is no condition placed on the Affordable Care Act or health care reform as a variable in the research. By restructuring our recruitment measures and reframing our objectives, the research team now aims to create a greater degree of buy-in and the possibility of ongoing collaboration and long-term university and community partnership. Possible follow-up projects to the needs assessment include an in-depth study of nurse culture using qualitative and quantitative methods, as well as setting precedent between students in the master's program and participating organizations as future partners in community-engaged conflict resolution initiatives. The needs assessment and project evaluation will be completed at the end of this fall semester, with possible follow-up and publication in the spring of 2013. We hope that the project can be used as a model for creative opportunities and community engagement by conflict studies and dispute resolution programs in other universities, as well as build mutually meaningful relationships in the field of conflict resolution and public health, and contribute to the transformation of culture towards reform in clinical care environments in North Carolina and in the United States. My last slide is the references. And thank you. We may have a couple of minutes for questions. Okay. Those are presumptions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For follow-up. Yeah, from many of the places we heard absolutely no response after trying to contact them several times. So that is a good point. Some of them we weren't actually declined. We were just ignored. Yeah, thank you.
What about that one hospital that we participated? Did you do anything with some of the 10 nurses, or did you run that as well?
We started making steps towards participating, doing research with nurses at their site. And unfortunately, due to the amount of paperwork for their IRB process, I'm not going to name the hospital, but it was one that had a really extensive and rigorous process for doing research and education. And as much as they were interested, we had so many hoops to jump through to get the research done. And since we only had one site, and we weren't able to do a comparison, and because we weren't guaranteed that any of the nurses would actually participate, even if, you know, we had everything, you know, completed a second IRB for their research and education department, we still weren't guaranteed any nurses would actually participate, you know, just being willing themselves. So we spent several months working with them, and there was a lot of these online at modules that the research team had to do hours and hours. So we ended up not working with them, unfortunately. So after we reframed the investigation, we thought we will do something on a much smaller scale that would be much more accessible for us as student researchers and for the organization. So we could kind of cut through some of that red tape.
And it's really brings home true with me because I have a friend, a colleague who does research, and she's pretty well known in rule-basing in nursing, which is exactly what you're talking about. Is what do nurses do, experienced nurses, very expert nurses, when their patients have needs that the system can't meet? And she's developing a whole theoretical model of rule-basing.
Absolutely. I mean, things that have been implemented, like the checklist manifesto, are there to empower nurses to kind of break the cycle of intimidation and fear and mistrust. But yeah, I would like to look for that. Rule bending and nurses, that would be great. Thank you.